This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Code to Texas.
And we are talking on our design segment of the Skirted Roundtable about inspiration in our interior design. When you walk into someone's room and you've just been hired for a job, where do you start? And I remember when I went to design school, in the very first class, that was sort of the question people were asking, and usually the answer is, it could be anything. So we thought we would talk about that. Where do we find our inspiration? And if it's a blank slate, what do you start with?
From where do you begin?
Yeah.
I tend to start with fabric. I mean, I think some people start maybe with wall color, but for me, it starts, I mean, this is after all the other things have been taken into account. You know, I start with a fabric. Maybe one pattern, and then one, you know, start adding other things to it. This is assuming that it's completely blank slate.
Yeah.
You know, it's not assuming that someone has a piece of, you know, a sofa that is covered in some crazy fabric or that can't be replaced, but you need to work around that, or a rug or a piece of, you know, art maybe.
Or the Renoir hanging in the closet kind of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that to me, I love that kind of job where you get to go to the design center and go to a showroom and start flipping through fabrics and getting inspired by that.
Yeah, I would say I often, if I'm not starting with anything else, I more often than not do start with the fabric. And I may not end remotely where I started, but it sort of will be a jumping off point for color palettes and combinations.
Yeah, and it does seem to come around. I mean, I think that, you know, I've said this before, people have a personal palette. I think that also, if you find that there's a certain color theme that they tend to use a lot, that helps. So that can sort of be your solid color if you're then going to look for a pattern fabric as far as bringing it all together. Joni, you don't use a lot of color, though, so I'm sitting here wondering what you're thinking.
I was just letting, you know, you talk. I'm laughing because that's exactly how I work myself. I love fabrics, and I will bring over fabrics to the client and try to find one piece that appeals to the client that she loves. And from that one fabric, I will develop the whole scheme. And that one fabric, the inspiration piece, may end up being one pillow in the room because it's probably real expensive, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's all we can afford. But that's exactly how I work.
Have you guys ever decorated, like, around a specific theme or been asked to?
Kids' rooms, which kids I rooms. Really like to do, but definitely kids' rooms.
Yeah.
Well, and I get all the time the whole beach people, you know, people here for a while were really wanting, everyone was wanting British Colonial. And I don't know that they necessarily knew what that meant, because I had, you know, one woman really wanted a British Colonial bedroom. And she said, you know, when I started bringing in, showing her different beds or different, you know, items that could be brought in, she was like, well, I don't like caning and I don't want anything that's black. It's like, what are you talking about then? And it turned out what she really wanted was really conservative, very beachy. She wanted beachy.
Was not, you know, British Colonial.
No, it wasn't. And I tried to explain to her what British Colonial actually was and where that came from. So there, and she didn't want any elements that were going to be in any way exotic or in her way, what was she calling it? Oriental. She kept saying, I don't want anything that has any sort of ethnic, that's what it was. She said, I don't want anything ethnic. So what it turned out that she really wanted was just a very conservative, beachy room. So I guess in a way, that's kind of a theme.
Did she end up with, like, dark woods anyway, or did she end up
mahogany.
With light?
Mahogany.
So she did. And to me, that's
mahogany, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't really think British Colonial is beachy. I guess it is, because it's a place
with beaches. I don't think she understood what British Colonial was, to be honest. I mean, I think that it was a term she had heard, and then I think we just went on British Khaki's website one day, and I said, does any of this appeal to you? Because this is what you're talking about. And she's like, oh, God.
Interesting that you're saying that, because tonight, actually, I got a new client. I was sitting out on my porch, out usual, and, you know, blogging, and Ben walks out and he goes, Dawn is here now, you know, my neighbor across the street. And she wanted to hire me. She'd been reading my blog, and which I didn't know, which is weird to think of that your neighbors are reading your blog, you know?
Now they're looking over your fence.
My neighbor asked me if I was Beach Bungalow 8 about a month ago. And I was like, yeah.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I had no idea. I live across. We have alleys because we live on Walk Street. So to get to our garages, we have alleys. And so she's my cross the alley neighbor. I thought that was so weird.
But anyway, so she said, you know, can you come over? And so I go over and, you know, they have two huge dogs who've made a mess of their sofa, just, you know, walking by the back of the sofa. And, you know, so she didn't know what she wanted. She didn't know what color she liked. You know, it was very impromptu. So I said, well, I'm going out of town. I'm going to give you two books. And I went home and gave her like a real thick house. I think it's a House and Beautiful, like 950 ideas, and then a smaller House and Beautiful book. And I said, look through these and just put stickies on anything you like. And when I get the books back from her, I'll look, you know, for a theme, or not a theme, but, you know, a recurring,
trends. Yeah.
Yeah, a recurring look that she likes. And then, so that's another way that I do that a lot. You know, I ask people to make clippings for me. You know, if I have no idea what they like and everything. So that's it. That's a good way to do it, I think. So she'll give me the books back. I'll look through and hopefully she'll like slip covers and, you know, seagrass. I know she likes seagrass because she has seagrass on her stairs. So anyway, and then I'll take over some fabrics and we'll pick one and, you know, we'll go from there.
And it's that easy. Like, she won't look at your fabrics and make you come back 10 times.
No, she will, if she's like every other client.
Right. So I was just saying, who are you? Yeah, who is that? I like that client.
But don't you think, I always think it's kind of almost mechanical to me. I don't know, it's just easy if you break it down that way. You start with the fabric, then this is how I do it. I start with the fabric. Then I'll go and I'll flesh out the one inspiration fabric with plain linens or, you know, a stripe or, you know, a velvet, whatever. And then I'll do a floor plan. And we just pick each, you know, sofa and the two chairs. And then we put the fabric on them. And then, you know, we pick the paint color and then the rug. And it's done. I mean, it's almost kind of easy. Don't y'all think what I'm saying?
Well, it sounds easy, but
I think in theory it is.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, Linda. What's your experience with that?
I think that it's, you know, pulled together, whether it's the wall colors or whatever, I think there's just a lot of shifting that goes on as we narrow down the color palette. And so I might have a lot of fabrics. I've certainly culled down everything out there to show them a smaller selection, but I may still be carting around a bunch of fabrics that I end up not using, but they're still inspiring me for some reason. There's something about them that inspires me. And so I do start with that. Although I certainly have had other, you know, influences, whether it's what's going on outside the windows, the use of the room, obviously, you know, that kind of thing. You know, the paint color, you know, if they've expressed a strong desire or dislike for a paint color, you know, and then I start building, you know, the layering on of what do you need? What do the rest of the accessories need to be,
right.
You know, and making alterations as we go.
You know, I think what I meant when I said it's easy, I'm not one of these designers that can walk into a room and go, oh, I see it. I want to put purple on the walls and I'm going to put, you know, green on the fabrics and I just, you know, going to do it. I don't see like that.
Anybody sees like that. I think my theory is that...
Don't you read these fancy designers and they all say, I walked in and I know immediately what I want to do.
Yes.
I wouldn't... I think they're making it up. Because would you trust someone who... A hairdresser who takes one look at you, doesn't touch your hair, doesn't look at your makeup, doesn't look at what you look like, and says immediately, I know the hairstyle for you.
That's a really good point. It's evolving. It just has to be an evolving thing because it's a creative process.
Because I think the people... You know, I think I've certainly had clients who are looking at me so expectantly that I'm going to walk right in and immediately say, all right, this is what I see.
Whereas they do, you're right.
And it's very harmful to me because it starts with, you know, I've had people kind of look at me and go, okay. And I'm listening. I'm taking it in. I have to hear. I listen to a room. I want to stand there and just feel the room. Mm-hmm. And not talk. And I've had people who, you know, that's what they're expecting. They expect this flurry of feathers and this instantaneous, darling, this is what it is. And my view is anyone who does that, they're working on a formula. They do that. They come in with that same design plan everywhere they go. And, you know, it's for show. I just don't believe that a sensitive person walks in and immediately can make all those decisions.
I read that, you know, because I read a lot of design books and they'll go, I can walk in and instantly know. I have read that so many times, but I can't do that. So that's why I say I break it down to a formula. And when I do it, when I use that formula, it's very easy, you know, and then it comes together piece by piece by piece in the layers, and not that it's easy going through it or getting to that process, but it all comes together if I approach it that each, you know, level, then it comes into cohesive design. But I can't look at a blank room and say, darling, it's going to be chartreuse and white, you know.
Right. I still find it hard to believe that a lot of designers really have that expectation. I think that it may be that they come back to one of their first thoughts, and then they say, oh, I knew immediately. But, you know...
Yeah, I think it takes some time. And I also think that there is something to be said about the input of the owner.
Yes.
I think the more you talk to them...
It
begins to change, but, you know, the ideal situation is to have them express to you, well, maybe I don't like that, but you knowing, because you're the one that's experienced and around all of it, you know, can come back with a good answer for them. But I always try to tell people, like, here's my first thought, but this is not to say this is where we're going to end up. I just think this is a place where we could start.
Yeah.
Like, what if we go here, and what if we, you know?
Well, also, I think if you're insecure, I'm insecure, and I it's scary to walk into a person's house and they're looking at you waiting, you know,
right,
for you to say what you're going to do. So, you know, there's a bit of that apprehension and nervousness, and, you know, that's why I always, my thing I also do is imagine I'm moving into this house. What would I do if I lived here? And I find it easier to come from that angle. And then, you know, of course, they never want to do what I would do. So it makes it easier for me, and it builds my confidence if I think of, what would I do if I lived there, you know?
That's exactly how I do it, too. I always, and that's,
really?
Linda, you're saying that you kind of don't want to be talked to? I do.
Yeah.
I go in and I think, okay, if this were my, because that's how I feel like I'm giving them the best of what my personal taste and aesthetic is if I go in and go, okay, not this person's house. Okay, my house, what would I do with this room? It's not me trying to please them.
Yeah.
And I mean, please the minute, you know, because then I think that I'm not doing everything that I possibly do, because I tend to do things a little bit more in the extreme when it's my own house. And then they can rein it in if they don't like it, you know. But
and
I'd rather start with giving them everything.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I want them to talk to me, but I want them to talk to me. I don't want to be the first. Because my view is they're living in their house. They've been the ones in this space thinking about it nonstop. You know, and thinking about it a lot, and you know, before they actually get around to making the phone call, upwards of, you know, years. And I always feel like I'm on, you know, being examined. And finally, I'll just say, well, I'm just getting a feel for the space, and I do. I want them to talk to me and tell me what they're thinking, and I want to just walk around and just get a sense of the space, because something will trigger my sort of imagination. And I've come up with kind of crazy ideas for people and thrown things out, and they look at you like, okay. And I'm like, oh, it's just an idea. You know, just let's jump off there and then we'll see where we land. But
or how about you just casually mention something and they never forget it? You know, they go, well, you said
right.
that you should not use red in this room, and now you're suggesting red, and you could just kill yourself, you know?
I know. And I think I'm going back, Megan, to your thing about the woman saying, you know, I like, you know, British colonial. because a lot of times people use the wrong terms. I've had clients say, I had a client once that said, I absolutely don't want floral on anything. I don't want any flowers. And we ended up with all flowers. Because I was showing her all these non-floral things, and then I threw in a couple things that had very different flowers than what she had inherited from the prior owners, which was more, you know, cabbage patch, rosy. So that's what her view was. And then when I showed her more botanical flowers, she's like, oh, these I like. And we ended up with almost all floral, but they were a little more fun and poppy floral versus, you know.
Right. And that, you know what? That's such a good point, because we assume that they're speaking, that they speak the same language, right. And they don't, yeah. You know.
Yeah. I had a client that had grown up in a house that was all green, and she did not want any green in her house. And I mean, no green. And I would forget, and I'd go over there, and she would look at me like I was nuts if I showed her something that was sagey taupe, you know? I mean, so her whole house was gold and blue, you know?
And that's, her, you know, yeah. I think that that's, they're the homeowner, and they come to it with their own prejudices based on, you know, something foisted on them in childhood, or, you know, the people who don't want any animals anywhere. I don't want anything with eyeballs looking at me. To the people who, you know, birds, bring them on, you know. And so, you know, I think the inspiration, it comes from a lot of sources. Have you guys ever taken an inspiration from an art, from like a magazine or someone else's work? Not in a copying sense, but just in a, you know, gosh, that Charlotte Moss's living room somewhere was just gorgeous. Whether it's the color palette or a piece of furniture that you just thought, I want to use that piece of furniture somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. And I've shown pictures to clients because I think that when I tell them, say, you know, how about like a great gray on the wall? They're kind of look at me and they think, gray? That just seems gloomy. But then, you know, in order to sort of illustrate it, yes, I've gone back and collected, you know, gone through my files of pictures so that they understand the feel that I'm trying to give them.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Joni Webb from Coat to Texas, Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us. You can see us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com. or download our podcast from iTunes, search for the Skirted Roundtable. We always appreciate your comments and emails and suggestions, and we will see you soon.